CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Tuesday. Took us a little while. I had some technical demons to sort out on this side, but they're all quashed. I had to destroy them with swords. Felt like I was in a medieval battle game. Aren't you impressed?
You were having a challenge.
A challenge. Yeah, I was having a challenge. Which mayor was it again? It's a Gwyn.
This woman, please remind us. It was someone in KZN.
It was the premier of KwaZulu-Natal.
It was Sihle Zikalala.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Yeah, I'm having a challenge. And then he just fell over.
Oh, he's forgotten.
He has not forgotten.
No. No. And people never forgive, you know. I saw Donald Trump had to hold up a glass of water with two hands the other day because people said he was weak. You know, all these old men in charge all over the world, it's bound to happen, right? And he had to prove that he didn't have Parkinson's by holding the glass up with two hands, not just one.
With one hand. The stadium, raptured into the...
He's not a baboon. He can hold a thing with one hand and not shake around. Incredible.
But
how low are our standards?
It was incredible for me to go, this is what happens when you're in a mob, right?
Yeah.
Because none of those people kind of looked at each other and went, what's going on right now?
Why are we impressed with this other human being holding something like we can?
I really... The entire time I watched that video, I thought, this is a Saturday Night Live skit writing itself.
Yeah.
Because before that, he goes, and I was trying to drink it, but I just made sure it didn't spill on my tie. Oh, I have a satin tie. And if it spills, it stays. I'm like, what are you talking about?
There were so many things going wrong. When he was talking about walking down the ranks, I was just like, what's going on right now? No. What is actually going on?
It's madness. And really, I mean, like, you know, when you're up against Joe Biden, all you have to do is basically be able to move.
Show up.
Yeah, yes. Just show up. Because that guy is he did a, you know, while everybody was saying, oh, well, Trump's attendance was low, Joe Biden had a two-person rally. He had two people. There are pictures on the internet you can find, and then they were socially distanced as well.
So,
this is ridiculous. Is this really a year, or is it a joke?
So, you know what is unbelievable for me, and of course they have super PACs over there and quite a lot of money to throw at it.
Right.
And I wonder if now that we're heading down the same way, if we will see some of that happen here, right? Is the advertising. So then Donald Trump has his whole talk about walking down that ramp and how he had to hold on to the general or whatever. And then bloody Joe Biden, 2 days later, is running a TV ad of himself running up a ramp.
I didn't see that.
The standard is so low that that's what you need to do to impress people.
Why are you running a TV ad? Why are you running a TV ad? Who? There was a meeting. There was a meeting. People sat around and went, we're going to make this TV ad. Let's find all the footage of you running up ramps. Okay, maybe we can find footage of you running up the actual ramp that Donald Trump couldn't walk down. It's a great idea, everybody says. They all high-five each other. Uh-huh. And they go and shoot it. Go and edit something. Find the music. This is the right piece of music to go with this. I'm just like, why, guys? Why? Wow. What are you doing?
Well, if you were briefed to, and I mean, you've been in the creative business for a long time, Pumi, so if you were briefed to resuscitate or save Joe Biden's campaign at this point, because really, you know, all the Democrats had to do is not be insane. All they had to do, they didn't have to, I mean, Joe Biden, even if he'd said zero from the moment he was nominated until now, it would have been better than anything he has said. But if you had to resuscitate that campaign, because it's just been a disaster after, and then, you know, people on their side of things are doing such stupid stuff at the moment. It's like shooting themselves in the foot. And it makes moderates, who usually would vote for them, go, you know what? I'm either not going to vote, or I'll even vote for the other guy, who they keep telling me is the worst person that ever lived.
You know how, I don't know, Gareth, in the 80s or whatever, there was this campaign about, like, not falling for peer pressure, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was all about, you've got to stand for something, or you're going to fall for anything.
Yes.
And I, that's how I feel about the Democrats, is they have no idea, so they're not standing for anything. And so they're just falling into all of these traps. They're falling for all of this nonsense because there's, like, no ideas.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. If they said to me, here's $100 million, just run our campaign for us, I'd say, you know what, you can keep your $100 million because I don't know. I can't help you. Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth?
Because
the truth.
Anything else would be thieving, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what he's currently doing, Joe Biden, that is, seems so disingenuous to me. And two of his most recent tactics come to mind. The first is he had a Zoom call with Mayor Pete. We haven't discussed him in a while. And a transgender pupil who was meant to graduate, but, you know, obviously has not.
They always have to give, like, the most extreme, so they have to go for the transgender person. God forbid the Democrats could ever just show, like, a normal American. They can't.
And I think
they've demonized them so much.
Maybe it's because of a generational thing that Mayor Pete just looked a little more comfortable. Joe Biden just sat there looking like a deer in the headlights, and it was as if he was programmed to say, okay, and now you will nod, and now you will say, wow.
Yeah.
And now, it just seemed so off. And then the second tactic that he had, this I actually did barf a little in my mouth.
Uh-oh.
Remember the Central Park Karen video?
Yeah, the woman who had that dude arrested, yeah.
And that dude, Christian Cooper, who, you know, the black man who was there bird watching.
Right.
He has now been used for a Joe Biden campaign. And I thought, oh, come on now.
See?
So it's another commercial
for anything.
Christian Cooper just going, and you know what I think about you, Joe?
You want to hear how ridiculous these Democrats are? You see, because what's happening is that there are a whole lot of people who have to show everybody how not bad people they are, what great people they are. And it's not good enough to just say, I'm not a racist. And Pumi and I have discussed this a million times, but this is hilarious. So the mayor of, I think, Oakland, they found some gym equipment. You know those stretchy bands and things? So they found these in a tree in a park in Oakland. And it was put there by a black guy and his friends, and they're all doing their exercises there because they can't go to gym, right? So they're exercising in the park, and they've got these things hanging from the tree that they do pull-ups on and the rest of it. So someone reported seeing nooses in a tree and that this was a race thing. The mayor of Oakland has a press conference where she says, we know that the person put them up for gym, but his intention doesn't matter. We're investigating this as a hate crime. They're investigating a black guy who says he put them in the tree, and he's got videos of all of them using the equipment to do some exercise. And I mean, it's a totally banal thing. But this white mayor of Oakland is like, no, we're investigating as a hate crime, and the symbolism that this is terrorizing the people of this city, and we're going to investigate this. I'm like, you know, people have lost their minds.
And excuse me if I'm wrong, isn't Oakland a
predominantly black?
Predominantly black. And,
yes, it
and
is.
Almost 100% Democrat.
Yes, it is.
So,
yes,
so
it
what,
is.
What are the – I mean, here's the guys actually stood – he stepped forward and said, that's my gym equipment. I would like it back, please. And they're like, nope, we're going to have to investigate because this could be white supremacy that's going on. Can you imagine how desperate you have to be for attention, that mayor? It boggles my mind because she has to prove that she's the most anti-racist of all, you know.
Shame.
She's tilting at windmills. It's just the most incredible thing.
I do not envy anyone in politics right now. No. I really don't. Even my dearest, well, in my heart, that is, my dearest First Lady Melania Trump, wherever thou is.
Well, I want to just thank Pumi for being on our first TV show the other day, because lots of people commented, wow, they didn't realize that Pumi was so beautiful, which I thought was just rude, because we're on the show every morning. We post pictures. And Pumi always looks good.
Although today's picture might be a bit crazy, because my forehead is absolutely shining.
Yeah, but you've got your braids in, and those were done. You only did those last Tuesday, which is why you were wearing a duk, right?
Dude, I actually almost said I can't be on the show, guys. My hair.
Anyway,
and you did it yourself.
It was nice to, for people who haven't seen Pumi in action, you've only heard her on the show, then you got to see her, and that was a real win for us, because it was great to have you on the first show, Pums.
It was fun. It was lots of fun. I forgot how much fun being on TV actually is.
But it's all over so quickly, right?
Absolutely.
It feels like the whole thing's done in like 10 minutes. And meanwhile, you've done an hour of show.
So because TV is not your first love or forte, how did you find it?
No, I said on the show the next day that I was happy with it, but I wasn't thrilled. It was it was a 6 out of 10, which is a pass. But
that's a good start.
Yeah, but that's exactly right. You see, you're also experienced in TV, so you know. You can't judge yourself by your first show. You have to give everything a little while to get going, and then you slowly start to get into it. And I think by tomorrow, we'll be in the flow. But you see, Tito has to table his emergency budget tomorrow. So I'm hoping he doesn't delay us like the Prez did on Wednesday last week.
Right. Although that is some pre-roll.
Although a president is great for ratings.
Yeah, no, that's good, especially during a crisis like COVID. It definitely would have helped.
I was very sad to have missed the following day's show, the morning show, because I had to take the boy to school, who went back to school last week Wednesday.
And how's that going, by the way?
Well, as of today, we're back homeschooling because we've got a COVID-positive kid in one of the classes. So literally, we were at school for 4 days, and then we've had to stay home again.
He must be irritated. Was he happy to see his friends again and some semblance of normality?
Yeah, except very unhappy about social distancing, because how are we supposed to play?
Yeah. Well, he's right. It's crazy. It's like being in prison, because you can't actually go outside and play soccer with your friends or sit and play with them in the classroom. You can't do any of that. They're almost in like little grids, right?
Yeah, they're in little cubicles.
Aye,
because
aye.
You see,
even during break.
No, not during break. So during class, they've got these visors on their desks, because you must know, right? It's like the bundles of joy. They must be well protected, because we don't like it if like there's so too much like stuff there.
Is this the helicopter parents that go to Kanekho school, or whose kids go to Kanekho school with him?
Absolutely.
Oh God, it must drive you so mad, because these people are insane. They're insane.
Oh no, I actually, on one hand, it does drive you crazy, but on the other hand, I'm so pleased that I can just sit back and there are other people to take the fight on my behalf. I don't have to get upset. There are people getting upset on everyone's behalf, and we all benefit.
It's exhausting though, right?
So I benefit from having a bunch of Karens.
Yeah, you've got a whole team of Karens at the school doing that's the heavy lifting for you.
And
what's a collective noun for Karens?
I've been trying to figure it out myself. But the
brunch
thing about
it's a brunch of Karens.
That's a good one. I like that. Brunch of Karens is perfect.
So, yes, you have a brunch of Karens standing up for Jesus for me.
It's the most perfect thing. It is the most perfect thing. And all you need to do is stand behind them in the mayhem.
And then they'll do the work for you.
In the mayhem, you just just stand behind them, and it all works out for your bundle.
I'm sure some of them lost their heads then when they heard that a child has tested positive.
Hysteria must have been something else on that WhatsApp group.
The WhatsApp groups last night, guys. Flying. The WhatsApp's flying.
Oh my God.
And what it all means for all of us.
Well, here's a message for you from Jenny. Jenny says she watched the show last week. Pumi looked beautiful, and she loved your reference to Bojo for Boris Johnson.
We love Bojo. Yeah,
by the way, that episode is now online. It was online, I think, the day after, or a day and a half, because there were some delays, but we will try to make sure. Yeah, we'll try to make sure we get that on the next day from now on.
Oh, cool.
But it's on YouTube, so you can go and check that out. Let's get this out the way nice and early. I'm pissed off at Mbulelo because of his Eminem comment from yesterday. He said that Eminem has passed his prime because he no longer takes drugs. I dare Mbulelo to listen to his latest album, especially the song Godzilla. He will eat his words.
I have a rule. Right. If you ever break up with someone in a relationship, don't ever get back with them. There's a reason you left. I'm done. Eminem, I'm out. There's nothing he could ever do to get me back.
He says, wow. Come on.
Godzilla's great.
This is from Jean. He says, come on, Mbulalalalalalayo. Do me a favor.
Nah.
In your own words.
Yeah. I'm done. It's in the past.
Someone just sent me a picture of three Karens sitting at a table, and apparently a group of Karens in the wild is called a complaint of Karens.
Oh,
wonderful.
In their natural habitat.
Habitat.
Yeah.
Has Mbulelo become nicer now that sports is back on TV?
No. No, don't be silly. But he has got his own sports show now, which is going very nicely. Yeah, how was Neil McKenzie last night?
Neil McKenzie was great.
What did
absolutely phenomenal. Oh, he had plenty to say about his career, Graham Smith, how that whole thing went, how he's less famous than his sister, his wife, who's Kerry McGregor. So, no, he's good. He's good value. If you want to see that, he tells some great stories about the dressing room. So that's available on YouTube on Cliff Central Sport.
All right.
And then tonight, we got a guy who beat cancer in 2015 and won an Olympic silver medal in 2016,
wow.
Which I still don't understand.
What an underachiever.
Yeah,
go through that again.
People.
What did he do?
So cancer 2015, he beats it. He goes to Rio, climbs in a boat, rows, silver medalist. Second best in the world. That's Lawrence Britton.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And you're just burning dinner.
No, you know what I mean.
Did you burn you burnt your dinner?
Who, me?
No, Sia.
I'm done now. Yes.
What happened?
I left my potato bake. I left my potato bake in the oven a little too long, and it's weird. Like I didn't smell it, but I felt so good about myself in the process. I'm like, yeah, I'm chopping these potatoes, and you know, a potato bake is quite a simple dish in theory, but looks very impressive. So whenever I get to garnish something, I think, ha. Take that, Jamie Oliver. So I'm like garnishing with cheese and garnishing with parsley. I'm like, this looks great. Pop it in the oven. Forgot about that for a while. I have never seen such. Do you know? I think my eyes got misty when I basically had to scrape this thick, ashy, char-like muck out of the oven dish and just throw it away.
Oh, shame. And there wasn't even a part of it that you could rescue to eat?
I'm done. No, I didn't even want to. I really didn't want to.
That's horrendous.
But are you one of these people who doesn't use a timer, like on their phone? You think, oh, I'll just smell it. I've got a great memory. Like one of those...
I have said it several times on the show. You are not the person to go to for sympathy. And you're very similar in this instance to my sister. She said, why didn't she set the timer on the oven? I'm like, I don't know how to even do that.
Does the oven have a timer?
What about your phone?
There are like 8 different buttons on that thing. I just know how to switch it on. And I think that's a victory enough.
Yeah, I sympathize with you. I can't cook at all. You know that.
Yeah, Gareth, you're a mess
you know
in the kitchen.
Some people just accept that, okay, I'll never go on that 3-month sabbatical to Italy. I'll never learn how to speak Italian. There's just that acceptance. I have now accepted I'll never be fantastic in cooking. It just will not happen.
I'm okay with that, though. It just means I'll need to find someone in my life who can do that stuff for me, because otherwise it's not going to happen. I'll always eat shit food.
Are you going to need a dog's body?
I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily just want to marry someone because she can cook well. You know, I think that would be terrible for her and terrible for me. If the only reason you're together is because she can cook for you, then really you should just hire someone to cook for you.
That's what I'm saying. Get a dog's body. And he's like your butler.
That's such a rude, like, what are you, some kind of imperialist?
Why? A dog's body. Yeah.
Where's my
dog's body? That's what you're going to have to get. Look at your wonderful house.
Where is my dog's body? You.
You can be the Stephen Fry to, what's House's name? Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. Or Baldrick to Blackadder.
There it is.
Oh.
See, then my list is a little tougher because I need someone rich and who can cook. See,
when they're rich, they don't have to cook, Sia. When they're rich, they pay for somebody to cook.
Ainsley. What about Ainsley? He's your guy. Go marry Ainsley, although he's got a wonderful wife. So you'll
he
have
doesn't
to
have a husband.
Yeah, Sia,
oh,
Sia,
wow.
Sia just sees opportunity. I like that about him.
Wait, Sia, hold on. Why would you presume he has a husband? What did you do there?
No, he doesn't have a husband.
No, he's got a wife.
Yeah, so he'll still be in the real estate for a husband.
Sia's saying don't count him out.
Oh, I see.
No, no, it's 2020.
Sia is doubling his chances.
Uh-huh. We can be a thruple. It's fine.
All right, so you've screwed up how many meals during lockdown?
This is my first major one. There were certain... I tried to make pancakes the other day, and then halfway through that, I thought, actually, we're going to make crumpets.
Pancakes aren't as easy as people think.
Because they're really thin.
And they require the right utensils. So you need the right kind of nonstick pan. Without that, you're screwed with your pancakes.
See, that's why I resorted to crumpets. Crumpets at least are thicker and just less admin. There've been many a day when I thought, you know, actually, I'll just stick to eating the stir fry.
I have to compliment you because I meet people consistently who think they can cook. And they are horrible cooks. And when you go to their house, they offer you terrible food. And I mean, I might not be able to cook, but I know a good meal from a bad, you know. And these people they think they are so good. They do believe they like Ainsley Harriet or Jamie Oliver or whatever. And
in that regard, I have won the lockdown. In that regard,
you've been cooking from the get-go, and you actually have a critical audience because children don't lie. So if your son tells you, "Mom, that was shit," you know it was shit, right?
So he's a nice guy. Thank God I live with a nice guy. He will never say it outright that it was shit. He'll just be like, just a little.
Already? So he'll say to you, well done, Mom.
No, he won't say well done. He'll just go. And it's when you have to fish for the compliments that you know that you're not.
You don't deserve it.
What do you think of dinner? Then he'll be like, Then that didn't go so well.
No.
But I did spend the lockdown kind of going, what shall we make today? Took out the recipe books. I tried everything. I've even figured out how to like make pizza dough and make my own dough in my electric oven. And
oh, come
brilliant.
On now.
That is impressive. Holy shit, that's amazing.
It is. I may never go to Calcaccio again.
Jeez, Pumi, that's amazing.
You've won the Olympics, okay? You don't need to further prove it. Like, come on, making your own dough.
That's great.
Am I close to Mulelo's silver medal?
Yeah, that's very impressive. I'll give you the silver medal. Let's just give it to you now. You've passed. You've won.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank
Congratulations.
You. Thank
you. I kind of like Kanejo's system. That,
You're such a hard guy to please.
So is Kanejo. I just want to be consistent for you, Pumi.
No. But I have won him over. I have won him over because the other day when he was playing whatever PlayStation thing and talking to his friends, and I was making fried chicken.
Ah.
And I actually heard him tell his friend, my mom, since the lockdown, my mom's been doing a lot of cooking, and she makes this fried chicken.
Oh, that
is everything.
That's phenomenal.
Yes.
right. That... Well, well, bloody done. That's amazing.
You know it's good if he puts down his gaming console to go and rush for dinner.
Dude.
And tells his friends. That's the real thing.
Because I absolutely missed chicken licken, guys. Over the lockdown, one of the things I missed the most was chicken licken.
I get you.
Those hot wings, guys.
Yeah. I'm not ashamed to admit that I missed fast food in totality during the lockdown. All right, I have to get us to headlines. Believe it or not, we're already 8 minutes behind on that. Yes, the show's flying this morning. All right, so first thing, Gedleklegi is going back to court today. The man has spent more time in court than he has in his house in Gandla over the years. He is due to return to the KwaZulu-Natal High Court in Maritzburg for his pre-trial on Tuesday. He's facing charges related to the controversial multi-billion rand arms deal of the late 1990s. After nearly two decades, you would think this stuff would have expired by now, but the state versus Zuma is finally ready for a showdown in court. Finally. It's taken this long.
Those Unreal. Things don't prescribe, my friend. The Zulu saying is iqala liboni.
Liboni.
Which means
those bad deeds don't go off. It doesn't, you know, ukubola is to go off, like meat or whatever. So that's
It will always be ready for investigation. Well, Tuesday's proceedings are mainly a pre-trial, meaning all parties will iron out logistical issues ahead of the start of the actual trial. So there's more procedure to go through here. But apparently, Patricia de Lille says she's been asked to testify, and she will.
Oh.
Yeah. How's that? Then in other news, that's from ENCA, then other news that we've got here is the Competition Commission says food prices are expected to fall. That's good news. Chief Economist of the Competition Commission of South Africa said the food price is expected to fall as the – well, price of food generally is expected to fall as the economy recovers from the effects of COVID-19. There have been ongoing concerns during this pandemic about the cost of food and increases. So a guy called James Hodge, who is the Competition Commissioner's chief economist, said the crisis has also been an economic one. One of the big elements has been the depreciation of the rand. It dropped by 25% to 30% from February through April, and that affected all products that were imported. Then, domestically, panic buying, which is a big surge in demand, and as the COVID-19 pandemic has settled and the global economy has settled, many of those things are filtering out. And we're now seeing fresh produce prices coming down as things have stabilized. So there's at least a little bit of good news. News 24 this morning are saying that the court has granted a restraining order against the alleged Gupta fixer, Cuban Mudli. National Prosecuting Authority Investigating Directorate has granted an order which restrains alleged Gupta fixer, Cuban Mudli, and his letterbox company, Albertime, from dealing with 232 million rands worth of assets. So they have to separate him from the assets. This is the amount that the ID alleges Mudli and his company received as kickbacks from the regiment's group of companies. According to an Amabungani investigation, Mudli introduced the chief executive of Regiment's Capital, which was then an up-and-coming black-owned financial and advisory group, to Salim Essa in 2012. Following this, Essa opened the doors at Transnet and other state-owned entities where Regiment landed deals worth over a billion rand. Must be nice. Must be nice. So that's what's going on with those. The Gupta stories just don't go away. Hey, they've been there also for a long time now. And the looters that torched and destroyed a KZN farm are still at large. It was an arson attack in Mtubatuba. Hundreds of people, believed to be from a neighboring village, destroyed crops and millions of rands in farming equipment on Sunday. It is believed to be an act of retaliation after a trespasser drowned on the property on Saturday. Now, someone drowns and you destroy everything next door.
So, yeah, who are you retaliating against?
Right.
It's not as if the farm owner said, and number one, they're outlying it's a trespass as well.
Well, you can't go into someone's property, destroy everything, and just get away with it. So now they're going to investigate. But apparently this neighboring community became angry after they recovered a body from a dam or a lake or a, you know, some sort of water, body of water. police are investigating, but they've destroyed millions of rands worth of property and like people's houses. For they just went on a rampage. Very, very bizarre story. And then the Business Insider are reporting that Virgin Atlantic will resume flights in July and Joburg to London is scheduled for September. But at least they're back on.
Virgin Atlantic?
Uh-huh. Because I thought
up in the skies.
Yeah, I thought they might close down. You know, there were big problems there. They announced on Monday they will resume passenger flights to markets around the world as countries begin to cautiously lift coronavirus pandemic travel restrictions. Flights between Orotambo and London are scheduled to resume in September. So there we go. Now it's good news.
Mm.
All righty. Those are the headlines that you need to know today. Some messages that are coming in from everybody all over the world who's listening to us. Ruth says, hey, guys, have a great day. On what's next, please bring back justice and remind people justice is needed. Be a kind person to everyone when you meet them. You don't know someone else's struggles.
Justice, justice, or justice, Malala?
I also had a moment.
I think
Ruth means justice as in fairness, you know, what is right, what is true, what is good. But I think she may also mean justice, Malala. Who knows? And we could get him on. I mean, you know, the nice thing, I know it's annoying to have guests on Skype, on television, and on this show. I mean, we're all basically doing the show from location all over the you know, different parts of Johannesburg and South Africa. The fact is, you can get people all over the world. So you just widen the net of potential guests. It's not just people who can actually drive to the studio and be on TV. So that's quite cool. And we could have Justice, even if he's in LA. I had no idea what Sis Pumi looked like until I watched the new show. She's way too hot for Unradio. That's a compliment for you from Morgan.
Give Morgan
the bells. Mm-hmm. Morning, guys. I moved to Australia 3.5 years ago, and I've decided to move back to South Africa. I listen to your show live at work as often as I can, and can honestly say that your show has influenced my decision. Despite all the shit in South Africa, your shows remind me on a daily basis how good the people of South Africa are. And it's still an incredibly exciting place to live. I could go on, but I thought I'd just give you kudos and thank you for providing me with a connection to home on a daily basis.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that cool?
That is awesome.
That's from Michael, who's moving back here from Oz.
We welcome you, Michael.
With open arms.
Yeah. I think it was because of Mbulelo's pleasing personality.
Yeah, Mbulelo's such a friendly chap that that's what eventually swung him.
I'm a diplomat. I'm diplomatic.
Hey, guys, well done on the TV show. Excellent as expected. And Gareth the Sneak is a great, throws in a great balance. I've been running the scuba division for the Durban Undersea Club for the past 11 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, listen to this. I loved yesterday's guest, who is a swimmer, but I guess I missed some of it. I'd really like to get in touch with him. Can't find the podcast on your site. Please help. I don't think, Tracy Lee, you might have Ryan, who's a swimmer, he's a cold water swimmer, confused for a diver. So yeah, did we play out some diver yesterday?
No.
So it's under part two, yeah. It's under part two's podcast.
All right, sorry, Tracy Lee, I don't know if that's going to help you or not, but there we go. Kids are assholes. This is from Nikki.
Yes, Nikki.
Wow.
I know this because I have three of them. To have a kid brag to his mom, to brag about his mom, rather, to others, is like winning the lotto. So, Pumi, there's some more compliments for you. That's when you know you're doing a great job. And believe me, that doesn't happen often in life. It's a moment where you will remember forever. Well done, Pumi. That is your moment. Bask in it.
Yeah, bro. Taking it and running into Tuesday.
Yeah, good point. And as well, when you were 12 and you still reference your parents in a good light, that means you are cool.
Oh, you've won the parental lottery, as Nikki says. Okay, so here's Ayanda wants to know, and this is a question for you, Pums. How are they going about social distancing at your son's school? My sister-in-law teaches grade R, and she had 34 learners in her class. In order to accommodate social distancing, she's going to teach 17 learners a week. So essentially, the kids will go to school every second week once grade R goes back to school.
Incredibly fortunate on the one hand, because we are at a very small school.
Yeah.
And the Kanego only has 11 other kids in the class with him. So there are 12 of them under normal circumstances. And at the moment, 4 haven't returned. And what they've done is, obviously, they've made the space in between all of them. They created, there's a visor that they've got on the desks. So each one of the kids is in like a little cubicle type thing.
Is it similar to what like some cashiers have?
Yeah, so a little similar to that. And then we were all asked to send stuff with to school. So a little like ice cream tub or whatever, something that closes that's on their desk so that they can sharpen their pencils into that, so to minimize walking around in the class, that they can throw dishes in or whatever. Everybody's brought their own sanitizers and sanitizing wipes and nonsense like that. But look, and that's why I'm lucky in that sense, because there are actually few kids and you can create that space. So when you can imagine with 34 kids in a class, it's ridiculous. The class is made to take 34 kids at a particular distance from each other.
Yeah.
And to put a meter and a half between all of them it's impossible. And also kind of like the signing in into school. Because now they've had to restrict how people get onto the campus of the school, small stations.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be incredibly impractical for the normal schools. And it takes like an extra 20 minutes for everybody to get in, because everybody has to have their temperature taken. Everybody has to sign in a form and hand over all of the stuff. It's going to be a mess. And the school space itself, just like offices, have a particular square meterage per person, which does not take social distancing into consideration.
Right.
That's why it's going to be such a mess. And that's how they're doing the social distancing there, but that's because they're so few kids.
Well, Sia tells me that at ENCA, and we have to go there today to record for our TV show tomorrow, he says that one of their people has just been identified as COVID positive, and now... And I'm just worried that they're going to have all kinds of stringent and irritating rules in place to make it extra hard for people to just get on with it. Right?
Yeah, they spoke openly about the fact that Shahan Ramkisoon, who is their 5 p.m. anchor, has tested positive for the virus. And
sorry,
that follows.
I'm not laughing because I think it's Garrett? Funny. Just think, like, you know, one of our anchors has got COVID. Finally, they've got a story out of this. Yeah?
Well, what works against them, and we're taking this seriously.
Of course
sure.
We are, yes. Yeah. Go on.
The devil will not use me today.
Get deep behind me, Satan.
Yes. What works against them is I think they had cornered off a portion of their building and part of their studio as part of their disaster management plan.
Okay.
So to my understanding, even the studio that was being used by Shahan was part of the disaster management plan. So I think like as few people as possible were allowed in there and were on set. But now, I mean, if your disaster management area is now infected, I don't know what you're going to do.
So they're telling you who it is as well? At the school, they just sent a message saying it's one of the pupils, and to avoid stigmatization, we're not going to tell you who it is.
Oh, no, well, Shahan has even posted on his own social media, he posted a brief video saying, I'm okay. He had very mild symptoms. He had like a bit of a fever, and he just started taking medicine, but realized that after a couple of days, he wasn't feeling better. That's when he opted to rather go tested. He tested positive and he's been at home. He says he's feeling fine and he'll make it through this.
So he did the right thing. I mean, it sounds like he did exactly the right thing, and you've got to be responsible and go and get yourself tested. And well, good for him then.
Yeah.
So you know who else posted about being COVID positive, and actually she's recovered now. Oh Lord, why would I forget her name now? She was the just recently resigned editor of Mail and Guardian. What's her name? Muslim girl.
Khadija?
I'll remember just now. Yeah, I think it is. And so she, she's been posting about it, and she's recovered her whole family, whatever. It was literally after she resigned from Mail and Guardian.
Hmm. No, I don't think it's...
Not Kiri.
Iman.
I can't remember.
Move on to the next story. I'll remember her name just now.
Yeah. It's
Khadija Patel.
Yeah, Khadija Patel. There we go.
That's the one.
All right.
Sitting on the Google Schmoogler words.
All right. Yeah, that's the only way to do anything these days. Have you noticed they have quizzes and people are not allowed to bring out their phones because everyone just uses Google for everything. No one knows anything anymore. Bulelo, this must drive you crazy because you have a pretty good general knowledge.
Yeah, but general knowledge is no signal of intelligence. It's rather fleeting. So I hate quizzes.
Oh, but come on. I mean, like, if you have a general knowledge, it helps. Because it means
it makes you interesting.
Well, you've paid attention. You've read a bit. You know, you've seen the world a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, but then people think, oh, he knows what the capital of Venezuela is, so he must be smart. Like, there's no correlation there. So I'm not into quizzes. But it makes you interesting. It certainly does give you texture.
Jesus. You're a hard man. You're a hard man.
I won't get you to deny my house. You're a place of personalities. Yes.
Hey, in the words of Ukanego.
Wow.
Your abrasive personality negates all that general knowledge.
What an abrasive personality, huh?
Unelo, what did you do for fun like 6 months ago?
I don't know. I have realized that I might be the most boring man alive.
Sat seething in hatred. That's what he did.
although, but this is also the reason why we listen to things like Blind History, so we know these types of things.
Yeah. Lubilelo. Yeah, exactly. You might actually. Oh, you've got to listen. Today, we're going to replay. I think there was a release last Tuesday of this episode, but if you missed it for some reason, then we're putting it out again today. It's probably my favorite episode from the point of view of that introduction. Because it's about Beethoven, Bach, and Mozart. And it's just so lovely to, you know, you hear the music and, oh, it's magic. I just love
that introduction is hauntingly beautiful.
Oh, thanks. I'm so proud of Spike for putting it together. He's a genius. So, yeah, it's a great, great season. And we're ending it on a very high note, which is terrific.
And if you never thought those guys were rock stars, you listen to that episode and you go, what?
Oh,
living it up.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
So if you think I'm tough and boring and terrible, I sent Blind History to my aunt. Now, she is an ice queen, absolute ice queen. And it was the first time I've ever heard her gushing about anything. So that's how good this season has been. She is a historian and loved this season, by the way. And she's ice queen to the limit.
Well, thank God Imabulelelelelo's aunt likes it because it would have been in
it's just how good it is because she is
creek.
She makes Nero look like
really
the angel Gabriel.
She's that bad, huh?
Oh no, she's something else. But she said this is unbelievable. Huh. So you have to listen to this season. It's been awesome.
Tommy will take a compliment, right?
Yeah, despite where it comes from.
No, I don't mind if she's like Nero. She's all right.
Yeah, I don't. Does not your, a woman you want to mess with.
Is your mother's sister?
No, my father's. My mother's family is great. My father's family is ice cold.
They're complicated. Well, I wonder where you get it from.
You definitely take after your mother's side.
Nice to know you're not adopted. You know.
No, that is good. That's
like my father.
You see, that's something to. There we go, Mbulelo. You always see the good, which I appreciate. The silver lining. All right, listen, we've got to wrap up this hour of the show. Get on with it. We've got lots of cool things. And talk to Josh Lindberg a little later on because he wrote a letter, which I really want you to hear. He's penned some of his thoughts into a series of letters from his perspective in the world of art, and he's written "We the Court Jesters," which I think is really beautiful. And I'll tell you about the letter in a moment, and we'll talk to Josh because I think he can explain himself better than I could. And we'll find out from him what prompted him to write this. And it's a tough time for artists at the moment. You know, there's really very little for them to be excited about. There's nowhere for them to perform. Artists are having probably the hardest time they've ever had. And I thought probably a good idea to check in with Josh. So we will be doing that next. Stick around, cliffcentral.com. It is a Tuesday morning, and we are live. Here's some Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing.
Cliffcentral.com.